the voice of uproar in the city, a voice in the temple. It is the voice of Jehovah making good, in that he even repays his adversaries, his enemies, in other words, are repaid by Jehovah. The voice of uproar in the city, a voice in the temple, it is the voice of Jehovah. Okay? He makes good. That is from Isaiah 66. It's the last chapter that we're doing now in the book of Isaiah. It's the very last chapter of Isaiah, chapter 66. From the Ward Green version of 2003, that was verse 6. Okay. Oh, it's going to be, it's interesting because it's going to talk about the birth of a child here, the birth of a son in the next verse. That's our daily scripture for today, though, little children, verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 66. There's the number 666, which is a number mentioned with regard to the number of talents of gold that King Solomon brought from far away, or from a place called Ophir, possibly the land of Arabia. No, China and Shina are chapter 7 now. We've reached chapter 7 of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express. And at the very beginning of this chapter, we have this illustration here, a beautiful photograph of... Isn't it beautiful, this photograph of this amazing-looking, remarkable, incredible, delightful flower, Lupinus polyphyllus, Rákosliget, Budapest, Hungary. And it just happened to be a photograph that I was able to process somehow to optimize the sharpness and the color, the contrast, and all of that to make it appear just as it does here. Now, it was actually a pretty good, obviously a very good photograph, but pretty good in the sense that I had something to work with when I optimized it, so it ended up being this. Isn't it exquisite? The final form of the photograph of this flower, it's just breathtaking. Okay, so paragraph 1 of chapter 7 now, this is part 2 of the Orient Express. I should say it's called, actually the article is called The Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express. 12-11 hours, I write, quote-unquote Orient, meaning or meant, it meant of old, or it still does mean, of old. And that is to say, quote, rising in the sky, unquote. That's interesting. It means of old. And as in the concise Oxford English Dictionary, the word Orient is defined as, quote, east of the Mediterranean, end quote. How many people would think of the Orient as being all of that land east of the Mediterranean, which is a large amount of land, before you even get to China? Isn't it? Faithful Job was described in the Bible book of Job as, quote, greatest of all the Orientals, end quote. And the land of Paddan Aram, with its city of Haran, where Jacob traveled, is, quote, the land of the Orientals, end quote. So that was the place where Jacob went, which is north of Syria, or the northern part of Syria, called Paddan Aram. It's just north of Jerusalem, but it's a fair distance from Jerusalem, or from the place south of Jerusalem where Jacob was living. So he had to travel a significant distance there to get there, but that he just went to this place called the Land of the Orientals, or Padan Aram. And so that's called Oriental, and that's just north of Jerusalem. It's not east, you know, but it's a fair distance north. I am grateful, I wrote, that Jehovah is allowing me to continue with a consideration of the earliest civilization and religion described briefly in Genesis 11. And before the confusion. That chapter, Genesis 11, just briefly, we should review it, I think. It's a time which, for many of us, has no historical context. Chapter 11, where they traveled to get to the land of Shinar in verse 2, and then before this time they were of one language, of course, and they decided to make a building. Let's build a city, they said, in verse 4, with a tower. And the tower would be this building which would reach high enough that its top would reach the heavens. That was the idea in verse 4. So there's no historical context. Like, there's no way of calculating from this when it took place, what year it was. Like, there's no way in there, in the text itself of the Bible, to arrive at that. It doesn't say who it was, so we can't use the genealogies, you know, there's no way of knowing. It just doesn't say. So that's what we've been studying in the Ark of Urartu, actually. The Orient Express, this is the land of the Orient, Shinar, where they were building this tower. And so we've been determining when it was that this happened, and therefore giving it an historical context. Hours, I wrote, in order to understand our beginnings, it is vital to explore the connection between the myths and astronomy. Between the myths and astronomy, that's what we've been studying, haven't we? We've looked at the myth of the death of Osiris on the Egyptian calendar date, Hathor 17, when the sun was in Scorpio, or the constellation Scorpius. And we looked at that in the historical context of the eclipse of Nimrod, which is both of which are astronomical events, right? But, well, I should say, the myth is not astronomical in itself, except it gives the date of the Egyptian calendar, which is linked to astronomy, because on the first calendar day of the Egyptian calendar, the star Sothis rose, right? So, and there was an Egyptian date given in the myth. So it's not really a myth. It wasn't really a myth, but a lot of mythological information is interconnected in this particular myth with what did I just say? What kind of information? Well, with the information, with the other details. There's a lot of mythological information connected with astronomy. That's what I was saying, I think. Yeah. Not the other way around, but I could have said the astronomical information is interconnected with the myth, too, but that's not true, that a lot of astronomy is connected with myth, generally. But in the time of these particular individuals who were so fascinated, or in their time, these people who were building the Tower of Babel on the plains of Shinar, astronomy was very important to them. And that's something that's why it's so tightly connected in the myth. And so, I mean, it's so remarkable that we can unravel it. I mean, using modern science to help us, but I mean, it's by no means a scientific endeavor, strictly. It's a combination of astronomy and history. Instead of myth, we could even call it history because it's got a date in it, right? It just didn't give us the year. So without the year, it's still mythological because it doesn't have the year. We need year, month, day to make it history. And that's what we did. We're still trying to do. In fact, the dating of it, you know, we're trying to get an exact date for these things. By a critical examination of planetary and stellar motions, stellar meaning the stars, may we come to an accurate knowledge of history, no doubt. And so I wrote that just like we were talking just now, like I was saying. We're doing it, all of this work, because we want to come to an accurate knowledge of history. That's the ultimate reason. The migration of the advanced culture from Shinar to China and its historical time frame is of considerable interest, to say the least, right? That's why there's this whole article written about it. 14-19 hours I wrote on August 7th, 2010, 18:41 hours, Ward Green wrote, "I'm running around like a kind of a jackrabbit on wheels." 17:11 hours, "Men have journeyed, quote, from early on," end quote, from Genesis 11:2, or, quote, "from the east," end quote, by an alternate rendering, "as in later times," or roughly 2700 years later, astrologers journeyed to Jerusalem from the east, Matthew 2:1. So astrologers in the time of even of Jesus, probably, but back as far as Nimrod, and this 2700 years before the time of Jesus, were astronomers. They were interested in the actual astronomy. It's not like astrology today where they talk about the stars and planets and they don't seem to even care what the actual position of these bodies is. Right now, they're not really astronomers, I mean, in the modern sense of what astrologers are doing. It seems that they're not... Most popular astrology is not very much to do with astronomy, let's say. I mean, I never suspected that astrology had anything to do with astronomy, or, you know, or except that it talked about the positions of the planets. You know, that's... So astrology never interested me because it had nothing to do with anything that I could study, like astronomy, but it really did used to have a lot of connection between the astrology and the astronomy that was the source of astrology, right? The study of the meaning of these things was astrology, whereas astronomy was the actual position of all these things, the celestial bodies, their positions. That's astronomy. The positions of the celestial bodies is astronomy. Okay, from early on. Now, the most significant thing about that sentence that I wrote there, from early on, is the same thing as from the east. So people don't render this properly when they say from the east, and they say, well, how could they come to Shinar from the east when they were... We know they were... Well, now we do. In the north, we know they were at the Ark of Noah. They came down south. How did they come from the east? Right? Or from the west, it says they journeyed eastward. And then some people render it, well, let's see what the renderings were, what some other renderings are here. Let's see. Travel eastward. The King James Version says, as they journeyed from the east, whereas eastward is from the west. So it's either from the east or from the west in the different translations, but that's not what it's saying according to this other... None of these things say. Here, oh, look at this. Rotherham says, it came to pass in this verse 2 here, Genesis 11:2, as they break away onwards. It doesn't even mention east or west. So it says from of old is the rendering is that we're saying is another or what do we say? From early on. Yeah. From early on, right, in what we just read in the Ark of Urartu, in the article, paragraph 7.1, from early on, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. That's what it's saying. Or they break away onwards, according to Rotherham, his version. This east and west is just nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. Right? But most of the translations do talk about the east and west. What did I say? I didn't translate this until now in this article here. But I translate it from early on. So that's what it's saying. From early on, they eventually discovered... See, the eventually is just sort of... hand-waving or something. It's... They... from early on discovered a valley plain, okay? What does that mean from early on is the question, like how early is the question? Is it that they discovered a valley plain, right? Because we said, well, you know, they could have discovered the valley plain long before 2700, right? But they didn't decide to build the Tower of Babel until in the 28th century, sometime after 2800, in the 2700s, as we've been discovering and studying, sometime in the 2700s, the Tower of Babel was built in the BCE time period, you know, before the turn of the Common Era, 2700 years, and more than 2700 years before the turn of the Common Era. That's what we've established. So that is pretty early on, so it's a pretty accurate statement. From early on, they discovered a valley plain in the land of Shinar. That should be the rendering, probably. But we don't still know if they discovered it maybe in the year 3000 BC or something. You know, and then they had time to, you know, for the population to grow in that location before they decided to build a city. But you'd think it sounds like they arrived there and they wanted to build a city right away because there was no city there after the deluge, 500 years after the deluge. This is not immediately after the deluge either, right? It's 500 years after the deluge. So it sounds like they arrived there just recently when they decided to build this city, but it's not clear how much time it took them to build the city or to build the tower, in which they'd never succeeded at building. But because they were scattered, as they were fearing in verse 4, they got scattered, which is the famous story about the confusion of the Tower of Babel, which caused the people to be scattered, right? After Jehovah confused their language. But we've learned a lot already, and we'd like to know more about exactly when they arrived there, but we just don't have that information. Now, in that Matthew 2 and 1 verse, which is also worth looking at, it says, astrologers from eastern parts came to Jerusalem. And if we look at some of the alternate renderings of that, they came from the east, it says in the King James Version. But there's another... Yeah, but there's another place. So from the east, could that be... It came from of old? It could mean that, but it doesn't seem to be the appropriate rendering. But let's see... Here it says here in verse 2, we saw his star when we were in the east. That's a different rendering in the New World Translation and in the Study Bible also. But if we look at the saw his star when we were in the east. Rendering by King James is, we saw his star in the east, not when we were in the east. So there's a different rendering there. But that's a different, that's not saying from the east or to the east or anything. That's a different point about the east. But so could it be saying we've seen his star in the early on? In the olden times, we saw his star? It has that meaning, too, that we saw his star because in the olden time prophecy, maybe they're saying, the prophecy about that there was going to be a king arising, perhaps they had that as a prophecy or something. Maybe that's what they meant by when we were in the east. In other words, from long ago, we've been hearing about this star is another meaning, but they're saying we saw the star when we were in the east, which meant physically in the east as well as, you know, in times long since past, people have been hearing about the idea of this king who would be coming. That was the prophecy about the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus. The Greek word for east is Anatole. Anatole, the word for Asia Minor, a large part of Turkey, that's east. And to orient a building means causing it to face east. The Hebrew word ron means joyful shout. And I rise, I am born, is from Latin, orior. To sing in Hebrew is ranan, running around like a jackrabbit on wheels. And the sixth one poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, quoting from Revelation 16:12, and its water was dried up, continuing that quotation. And finally, ending that quotation, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the rising of the sun. Revelation 16:12. That's the end of our study for today, little children. That's the Ark of Urartu to the Orient Express, chapter 7, paragraph 1. We've begun part 2 of this article from 2010, 2011. The Ark of Urartu, Sacred Annals by George Smith, The Patriarchal Age. They journeyed from the east, page 301 of that book, on their way to Shinar. But we've seen already, it's translated perhaps better from early on. From olden times, they made their way to Shinar. That could be what it was saying. But the problem that we always had with the Bible, up until now anyway, hopefully it's not the same now because of our article, but the problem that we always had was there was no chronological framework, right? So the Bible was like a fairy tale. It said, from olden times they journeyed to the land of Shinar. You know, that's what it sounds like it was saying, because from the east makes no sense, really. Although it had that meaning too, but it doesn't make any sense. And what was the rendering here? Well, we'll have to go back to Genesis again if we want to see that. Let's see. Journeying eastward. So it was from the west in the New World Translation of 1984 that verse was rendered. So from the east or from the west, in other words, maybe from the north. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to if you don't know which it is, from the east or from the west. But here it is contended that as Armenia lies to the north of Shinar, this passage proves that Ararat could not be situated in that country, but that Sagasithia, on the borders of India, precisely answers this requirement from the East, according to this book, The Patriarchal Age. Several attempts have been made to avoid the force of this objection by writers who have believed that Ararat was situated in Armenia, and we think that Mr. Faber, following Granville Sharp, has fairly solved the difficulty. We give his own words, it does not appear to me that even this argument would decisively prove the pulse of the Ark to have been in Kashgar, supposing our common English version accurately to express the sense of the original. Just another way of saying it's not clear that the Ark was in India, because we are not obliged to allow that the early post-Diluvians traveled in a direct course from Ararat to Shinar. It wasn't a direct course, he says. They who contend that Ararat is to be sought for in Armenia might easily reply that the builders of Babel first journeyed eastward, then inclined to the south, and lastly turned their faces toward the west, which course would obviously make them arrive at Shinar from the east. Or you could say the other way around, you know, could have gone west and then south and then toward the east. And they might fairly adduce in favor of this conjecture the testimony of Berosus, who expressly asserts that the ancestors of the Babylonians, in order to reach the place of their settlement, traveled by a circuit or in a circuitous route from the country where the Ark of Sisuthrus landed after the deluge, Sisuthrus being another name for Noah, but I do not conceive that this is the proper answer. George Smith writes, page 301 of Sacred Annals, The Patriarchal Age. Neither do I conceive that the circuit mentioned by Berosus would correspond with such a line of march. The truth of the matter is, he goes on, that Moses does not speak of the route by which mankind arrived at Babel, but of the time when they journeyed there. The Hebrew word, ill-rendered in our translation from the East, denotes before, in the sense either of time or place. When used to describe the course of the Hiddekel, it intimated, as we have seen, we haven't seen it, but it's in his book, that the river flowed before Assyria, not to the eastward of it. And here it teaches us in a manner exactly agreeable to the general context of the history, not that the builders of the tower discovered the plain as they journeyed from the east, but as they first journeyed, that is to say, in the course of their first general migrations from Ararat, near which they would doubtless remain after the flood until their numbers had sufficiently increased for the forming of new settlements. In this sense, accordingly, the passage is justly understood by Josephus, who says that not a single syllable respecting any supposed journey from the east, but simply intimates when men first ventured to descend from the high ground where the Ark had rested, they traveled to the plain of Shinar, which was the first country that they planted. Well, that's neither here nor there. I mean, they must have descended from the high ground and then set up a city nearer to the Ark at first, you would logically assume, unless there was no food there or something. They wouldn't just immediately go from the Ark to Shinar, but perhaps, well, we just don't know when. So there's, no matter what Josephus said, it doesn't mean that they first ventured. It means from early on, right? So maybe they did, maybe there was a group of them that traveled to Shinar, but Noah, we believe, lived the rest of his life near the city of Eight, which was the place where he had his house, somewhere in the plain in Turkey, which is near Armenia, but in the mountains of Ararat in Turkey, where the Ark landed. On those nearby plains. That's where we think Noah was living for his life after the flood. But, I mean, and so some of the others also probably lived near Noah. But that's why it's also difficult because of that, I think. But this is a wonderful book. So then I go and I say, okay, let's download a PDF. So we'll do that. And that will be something we can save. Is there another book? Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Well, everybody knows Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, if they study the Bible. That's a list of all the words in the Bible and what their meanings are in the original Hebrew. That's what Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is. It numbers each word according to a number, an unique number. So you can identify each word by that number from the original Hebrew Bible. Okay? That's Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. 1890, which is very commonly known. In Proverbs 29 and 6, in the Contemporary English Version, I've chosen to link that from BibleGateway.com. It says, your sins will catch you, but everyone who lives right will sing and celebrate. That's what I say to people if they talk about superstitions. I say, no, it's not some, you know, superstitious reason why something went well for you or why something good happened. It's called living right. It's living right when things go right for you. You're living right. That's why things are going well. And it's unbelievable how well things go when you're living right. It's unbelievable how many happy happenstance things occur where things just fall into place. Now, that's not to say this during those times when there are things, you know, happening good, like happenstance, you know, things happening, which we call happenstance when they're good. During those times when the happenstance is going on, there are bad things happening at the same time, or, you know, occasional little things happening all the time, you know, that you drop something. But when you're in that living right thing, like when you spill something, you say, well, oh, it's good. It's an opportunity to wipe the floor, you know, or whatever, and get the floor clean, which it wasn't before, you know. So your sins will catch you, but everyone who lives right will sing and celebrate. Look at that. Everyone who lives right will sing and celebrate. Yeah, well, I'm going to have to do more of that, probably, at some point. That's it for today's study. It's November 14th, 2024, of the Common Era. The time is 1935 hours, North American Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you so much for listening and watching once again. And in my behalf, this is Sissy and Annie, saying bye for now. That was the Ark of Urartu, Part 2, Chapter 7, Paragraph 1. The Orient Express.